to 5 till. I got that. My name is Julie Harvey, and I am a recovered alcoholic.
Hi, Julie.
I haven't found it necessary to take a drink since 9/16/03, and for that I'm absolutely blessed. It's only because I followed the directions in the big book and actually did what I was supposed to do from the big book that I get to walk free. And I didn't know that for a long time. So I'm going to talk to you... I'm going to throw my story in, but here's the deal, guys. I sat in AA for 13 years, in and out, 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 and I couldn't get sober. And there's some reasons why. If you ask me on the very first time I walked in, maybe I didn't want it at that point, but... You fast forward when I really did and I couldn't stay sober and I didn't even know what was wrong with me and I didn't know why I was drinking and I had all these reasons not to drink and I'm drinking anyway and so I'm going to talk to you about that. I feel like there's a lot of myths around AA and there's a lot of opinions that come around AA and those really didn't keep me sober either. One big one, I'm just going to throw this out so that we can get clear the air. I have a male sponsor. He's 86 years old, and he is a hard ass, and he is a crouchy old man, but he absolutely saved my life. He absolutely saved my life. If it weren't for him, I know I would not be standing here. You know, so there's a lot of opinions and a lot of myths in AA that I like to talk about. One thing is, I don't like to do this. I do not like to be up here. I'd much rather be sitting at a table with a woman going one-on-one through the book. That is my favorite thing. I love to go out to treatment centers, but I do this because I have a responsibility. For a long time, I did not know what was wrong with me. I did not know what the answer was, and I didn't know what the problem was. And until somebody sat in front of me and said, "Here, baby cakes, this is what the deal is," was I able to pick up these tools and run with it. You know, on page 17, I'm just going to read this real quick. On page 17, it says, "But the ex-problem drinker who has found this solution and is properly armed with facts about himself can generally win the entire confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours. Until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished." And for me, little or nothing was being accomplished for a very long time. And so when I talk about my story a little bit here, I just want you to understand, I don't hate AA. I absolutely love AA. And for me, that is a miracle because in the end, AA was the last place I wanted to be. You know, if you're sitting in this room and normally there's a lot more people, but I think some of us can sometimes be sitting in this room and we're still not happy and we're still just fighting it and avoiding temptation and hanging on to the edge of our seats. And I promise you, that is not how this program was designed. That is not what this program has to offer. We are not offering hang on, fake it till you make it. That is not what we have to offer. What we have to offer is a way out. Guys, I drove around going, "Don't look at that beer sign. Those cores ticked my, oh my God, they got me every time. They looked hot. The beer looked cold. I am a beer drinker, right? I drink a case a day." Yeah. I went in 40 pounds overweight. And so I'd be driving down the road after leaving a meeting and I'm just don't look at the signs, right? Avoiding all temptations, hanging on. When is my next chip? When is the next chip? When do I get, right? Guys, that's not what this is all about. My alcoholism was not causal. It wasn't about the circumstances that happened in my life. I had a pretty good life. Yet, I can tell you my mama didn't support me enough. Ooh, poor little me. I can tell you my dad died at 18 when I was 18 years old, right? But that is not what caused my alcoholism. We either are one or we're not one. I cannot drink enough alcohol to become an alcoholic. I can't. Listen, my husband can go out and drink a lot and puke his guts out, and I guarantee the next day he's going to wake up and say, I don't ever want to do that again. But at 15 years old, the first time I drank alcoholically. I had 6 tall boys, and somebody asked me, what's a tall boy? What are they, 18 or 16 ounces? I'm on the way to the Def Leppard concert. That'll date me a little bit. I always say alcohol did preserve me well. On the way to Def Leppard concert with my cousins, all cool, he pops open a tall boy, and he's like, here, you can have one. I wound up drinking that and the other 5 in 45 minutes. Clearly, that's a problem. The whole concert, don't remember it. I'm puking I had the ambulance drivers coming up to me going, is she okay? My cousin's like, back off, yes. She's got something. So the next morning I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, how fun was that? Right? When do I get to do that again? And so really quickly I learned that I didn't drink like even my high school guys drank. They would go off campus and they'd say, come on, Julie, let's go have a drink, and then we'll go back to school. And I'm like, absolutely, let's do that. And then we'd go, and then I'd start, but guess what? I couldn't get back to school because I'm thinking the party's just begun. Why are y'all going back? We can't go back now. Let's keep going, right? The physical aspect of this, the physical allergy is kicking my hiney already. Once I start drinking, I can't stop, period. So what did I do? At that age, I was able to control that. Don't leave campus. Easy solution. And for a while that worked. Guys, I'm not a bad kid. I was not a bad kid and I was not getting in trouble. So I learned really quickly how to control it. Just don't drink it. Weekend came, party on, right? But once I'm in school, I'm going to be in school and I'm not going to get in trouble. The minute I left high school, all bets off. There was no summer school. There was job. Oh, I was a lifeguard. Come on, right? I'm not even looking at college. So I finally did. I go to this little community college, but my thinking is I am drinking a lot. At the age of 18, my mother had the phone book open one day, and I'm like, what are you doing? And she said, I'm looking up AA. That's crazy. I'm just young, right? At that point, I was just young and having fun. It's working. It's working well. But I think, well, maybe if I get married, I'll grow up. And that's exactly what I did. I got married. The thing is, you know, it's like all those times that we try to get our ducks in a row. If I get this done, and if I get this done, then I won't have to drink so much. And if I get this done, and we accomplish all this, guys, we're not weak-willed people, right? We are not weak-willed people, except where it comes to alcohol. And so I go on, and drinking is absolutely messing things up here and there, and I see it's a problem. We all see it's a problem. So I just decide to get pregnant. Because clearly that's how you stop drinking so much. You have a baby because all moms are good. Like, you know, you look at these moms, they're all happy with their strollers. Everything is groovy. I'm thinking that's it. That's the ticket. No. My husband is having to leave our baby in the crib at 4:00 in the morning to come and get my drunk ass because I can't drive home. It was consequence after consequence after consequence. Okay. Isn't it a part of this? I mean, what I need is a divorce because the second kid didn't work. And so he's the problem, so I need to leave him. And so what do I think? Oh, my gosh, I'm divorced. It's a party. It's a party. And poor little me, I never had a life. I went from being a kid myself, raising kids. Poor little me, I need to drink. I need to have fun. This is my time. Selfish, self-centered, down to the core. So I go on and I'm finding that I get divorced, and the next thing I know, I'm winding up in a hospital with a bad case of jitters. That's all it was. Nervous breakdown. I mean, wouldn't you have one? If you're 20-something, you have two kids, an ex-husband who's Italian? Absolutely. So I'm now in the hospital. While I was in the psych unit, I kept seeing this van go off. Like, you know, they would take them out of the building. I'm like, where are they going? And they said, well, they're going to an AA meeting because, you know, that's that unit. I said, well, I might need that. Right? I just went out. I just went out of the hospital. I go to my first AA meeting. The room is full of smoke. That's all I remember. And they gave me a book that looked like this. Blue book. I walk out of there. Now I've got some great meds and I'm drinking. Life is good. Now, let me tell you, there was no part of me that wanted to quit at that time, and there was no part of me that felt it was necessary for me to quit at that time. I didn't see it as a big problem. I'm still lying to other people, and I just keep moving on. Fast forward to when it is a problem. It is a problem. Everything is groovy in my life. Everything is great, and I can't stop, right? And I remember the first meeting that I actually did walk into on my own, because I had just had two kids taken away from me and a restraining order against me for my kids, I was evicted and fired. And so do these circumstances look pretty grim? Pretty grim, absolutely. What do? I go back to mommy. And then I said, I think I need AA. I go into AA, and I remember it was my third day. And guys, at 22, I can't tell you when I went 3 days without a drink. By the time I was 22, I can't tell you the last time I went 3 days without a drink. So I remember sitting there, and I heard this guy. And he's actually still, he's sober now, but I heard this guy, and what he said, I thought, oh my gosh, if he can do this, I can do this too. And I proceeded to do this the way I was taught to do this. And so this is what I want to talk, you guys, sponsorship is so crucial in Alcoholics Anonymous, absolutely crucial. But I was doing it with the woman who was not properly armed with facts about herself. Could she help it? No. She didn't understand it either. See, if we're taught one way, that's all we're taught. We don't know there's a different way. So I'm continually going to the same meetings. I'm continually trying to work with the sponsor, right? I get a year sober on the grace of God only. I get a year sober, and then they tell me I can sponsor. Guys, I haven't been through the work. I haven't been through the work. And yet, somebody, my sponsor, is telling me I could sponsor. I also got pregnant in AA because I'm thinking, if I don't have a solution, see, here's my problem. You take the booze away, I get worse. I do not get better. Right? Page 52, the bedevilments, clear, full of fear, right? The feeling of uselessness, self-pity, all of that stuff. And what is my great fixer? A man. Always, I got a solution, and if it's not in this book, it's with your man. I don't even care if it's your man. And I don't care if I have one, too. I don't care. So I wind up pregnant. Of course, and you know, I've got 5 months, he's got 5 years, it just sounded groovy. Here's the thing, though, this is the stuff that started unraveling me around Alcoholics Anonymous. My sponsor said to me, she said, if you don't get an abortion, I've got to fire you. Fire away. Fire away. Opinions. Opinions will kill us. Where the heck did that come from? If it's not in the book, if you can't reconcile with it in the book, then discard it. So at one point I had done a 4-step and it wasn't enough for her. Because, see, I have not been molested. I haven't. I did not have any abuse in my background. You know, my husband was a real jerk to me, but that's not why I was drinking. See, I worked on that stuff. I worked on the mommy issue. I worked on the daddy issue. I went and did my therapy. I'm walking free of that stuff, yet I'm still drinking, and I don't know why. And so I had to go and lie on this fourth step that I'm writing out. And so when I took it back to her, she was happy. She said, yes, that's now you're getting honest. Next thing I know, that fourth step, that fifth step that I did, wound up in the courtroom. She handed it over to, the cool thing is that I always have God on my side. God's got my back, because I could lie and say that's not true. These are the circumstances that happened to me, guys. This is what is my experience. Which is going to get you to where I'm so big on sponsorship today. I absolutely love the women I sponsor, but I guarantee you, if I give her an opinion, I'm going to say, I don't know, this is what I think. But do not do what I think. You better take it to God. That's it. I stayed sober for about 18 months on God's grace, and I left, and I left AA because I just thought, I can't do this anymore. You know, on Roman numeral 20, in the big book, it's in the Ford to Second Edition, it talks about, you know, 50% came into Alcoholics Anonymous and got sober at once and remained that way. That would be like half of this room, right, coming in and absolutely getting sober and staying sober the first go-round. How many of y'all have one desire chip? Awesome. That is awesome. Okay, so then it says, out of the other part, right, 25% came back after some relapses. So they stayed sober. The cool thing was, is, I mean, that's great information. Like, we have 75% getting sober and staying sober back then, right? All right, so what is it? They said they really tried. That was the kicker. They really tried. So what I found interesting, though, is Bill kind of interviewed these guys. He polled them, and he's like, hey, why did you leave? And some of them said, I didn't like AA. I didn't like you guys. Now, I've left because of that. Some of them said, I couldn't accept that spiritual program. I've left because of that. Some of them said different things of the reasons why they left. But then he said to them all, he said, well, why did you come back? And they all said the same thing, because you said that if I had a mind like yours, the day would come when I would drink again, that I wouldn't have a defense against that first drink. And that's what happened. See, clearly when they left, right, they had the knowledge of what was wrong with them. What is wrong with us? Forward to the first edition. It says we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered, and that's why I call myself a recovered alcoholic, from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. There's the problem. I've got a hopeless state of mind and body. Dr. Silkworth then continues and talks about, in the doctor's opinion, right, of how we have a physical allergy. Now, guys, I heard that in meetings. I heard we have an allergy, and my allergy is that I break out in handcuffs. That's what I was hearing. And then I would hear all these stuff. Now, nowhere in the big book does it say you will break out in handcuffs. Nowhere. It does say that you will break out in a craving beyond your mental control. So once you start drinking, you can't control the amount you drink. Yes. Check. I can get down with that. That's like at the age of 15, right? When I go to grab one, why did I drink six? Why? Like, you think that the fourth one was better than the first? Fast forward to when all I wanted to do was go out to a nice dinner by myself, because I have four kids and a husband, and I like to leave. People are like, did you drink and drive? Yes, you would too. If you have my life, right? It's the only place I can be alone. So I went out to this restaurant. I sat at the bar. I was going to have two glasses of wine, and I was going to go home. I'm having to shut down the bar. Not only that, I'm not driving. I've got to find these strangers to help drive me to my house, and then they have to leave, right? My intention was to have two glasses of wine and go home. And while I'm sitting there drinking nonstop, I'm telling myself, go home. Screaming it to myself. But then, what do? Change my mind? No. That's when the physical aspect comes in. Guys, we are not craving after 72 hours. It takes about 72 hours to fully flush it out. It's like someone being allergic to strawberries, right? You eat a strawberry and you break out in hives, you can see it. See, I always thought, well, I can see their reaction. I drink, and I drink really well. In fact, I'll drink you under the table. I mean, that's kind of, I couldn't understand having this physical allergy. But that's the thing. Once I start, I can't stop. I can't stop. With all the reasons, my husband used to say, Julie, I'm on my fourth, and you're on your fourth, and you're just getting started. Like, what's that about? I'm like, I don't know, but go in the house. I don't know, because I'm a backyard drinker, guys. I am not out at bars. Because if I go out to bars, clothes start coming off, and nobody wants to see it. Why do I think they do? They don't. I can't trust myself. I kind of like my backyard. I get to be all by myself, philosophize about life, and just, you know, figure it all out. Why tomorrow will be a different day and I can stop drinking tomorrow. So, needless to say, I didn't get this information. And I surely didn't get the information that when I left there and when I quit doing this, like I should have really started in the first place, when I quit, the day's going to come when I'm going to take a drink. And I'm not going to have a defense against it. And all the circumstances, all me losing my children and being evicted, that is not going to crowd in the mind to deter me. And that's what happened. I met a great man. He lived in Dallas. I lived out in Clear Lake, Texas. I wasn't drinking by, you know, but here's the deal. You know how the big book talks about, it's not the bottle that I'm allergic to. It's the alcohol that's in the bottle. So whatever I'm taking, I better be darn careful of what I'm taking. Because my body doesn't say, hey, Julie, you just put some alcohol. I mean, you just drank whatever. NyQuil. NyQuil has alcohol in it. I cannot take NyQuil. Because if I take NyQuil, my body's going to say, it's not going to say you're sick, go to bed. It's going to say, you just took some NyQuil, you just got some alcohol in me. Where's the closest liquor store? So I was drinking O'Doul's. I didn't realize that O'Doul's and non-alcoholic beer have alcohol in it. That was unbeknownst to me. And so it was real quick after that we're sitting on the couch. We're now engaged, and he says, would you like, or no, we're just sitting on the couch one day, and I said, hey, can I have a sip of that? And he's like, are you sure? Yes, absolutely. Look how long I've been sober now. It can't be all that bad. I was just making too hard deal of it. It's not a big deal. Took a sip, more sips, off to the races. See, I don't go out little. I'm an everyday drinker. I'm an everyday drinker. At this point, I'm raising this little girl that I had, who is absolutely precious, and she's 16 today. Thank God I didn't listen to that sponsor, because she's one of the brightest girls I know, and I always say, if I can grow up, I'd be like you. And my husband, we get married, I move to Dallas, things are going great. Guys, I have everything I want. I'm seeing my boys again that were taken away from me. I have a relationship with a man that is absolutely incredible. My life is fantastic. Except for one fact. It's that I go to the mirror every day and I say, today's the day. We're not going to drink today. We're not going to drink today. And by golly, by noon or 2 o'clock, I'm drinking today. I'm going in front of the refrigerator, put my hand on the refrigerator, just crying in tears, begging not to open it. And I'm opening it anyway. See, I have lost the power of choice of whether I will drink or not. And that was that component I never fully understood. Because everything in my life is great, and I'm drinking. Everything in my life is bad, and I'm drinking. See, I drink no matter what. It's not about getting the ducks in the row. It's not about getting my little issues all tweaked out. I did that. And I'm still drinking. I'm in the church. I'm running a ministry. Right? Because I'm thinking, volunteer work, that's where it's at. Church, that's where it's at. See, I knew there had to be something to this, but I couldn't quite get it. So God and I are tight at this point. We're so tight. And I would go into meetings, and I don't go, like, I'm not one of those who picks up a chip and goes and drinks and come back the next day. I come back in 2 years. That's just me. I'm like, to heck with y'all. Y'all are crazy. I don't like y'all. I don't need to be here. Y'all are not my friends. That's just how it was. And it got to the point where I couldn't stop. I knew I couldn't stop. I remember going to my husband's edge of her bed one night, and I told him, and this is after 11 years of being in and out of the program, and I said to him, I am so sorry. I cannot make any more promises to you. I am going to drink, and I don't know why, but I can't stop. You know, I envisioned myself a gray-haired old lady with a stock pond and a fishing pole and a couple bottles of wine next to me and my grandkids running around. That's really how my life looked if I made it. I started writing letters at the end. You know how we wish for the end? We just wish for the end. I was on the end of my backyard one night because I'm a backyard drinker, and I was back there, and I got on my hands and knees, and I'm like, oh, God, help me. Help me, I don't know what to do. Because I had tried AA again in Dallas, and I had the same kind of thing. But I didn't know any better. I thought that's all AA was. My husband and I were talking about it today because he wound up finding me a treatment center to go to. He was such a good man, and he never forced me to stop. He never said, you need to stop. He waited patiently. He had like the patience of Job, but And when he called the fellow that was in this area for that treatment center, he's like, well, she's going to have to do a 12-step program, and she's going to have to go to AA. And my husband was like, oh, no, she won't. No, she won't. See, he saw me in AA not drinking. He saw me in AA with the page 52 bedevilments. He said, I can always tell when you've been drinking because you're nicer. See, I used to hear it in the meetings. We had this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and I would sit back and just judge y'all. Because I'm like, that's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I was thinking that's like bar fights and this and that. But what it is, it's a total personality change. See, when I drink, I get a total personality change. You may be throwing punches. I'm throwing kisses. I mean, that's just how it is. I get a little nicer. The thing is, you're not seeing me at midnight when I'm still drinking because I can't stop, and I'm crying, and I don't want to, and I want to be in bed with my husband. My husband doesn't even want me in bed with him because alcohol is just reeking out of my pores. I was on my hands and knees, and I said, God, help me. I don't know what to do. Help me. And I heard a loud voice say, go back to AA. I did. And I got up off my knees, and I said, no, thank you, God, anything but that. Anything but that. That didn't work. And so if you're sitting out here and you think AA doesn't work, I get it. I understand that. But it does work. The thing is we have to have a guide to take us through the work. I remember a guy just not long ago. We were sitting and talking, and he had 20 years, and I was, and it just kind of dawned on me, guys, I could care less how much time I have. I could care less how much time you have. What I want to know is, what are you doing? What are you doing with your time? Are you giving it back? Are you showing God that you're grateful for being sober today? See, the thing is if I could keep myself sober, I would be keeping myself sober at home with my family. I wouldn't be up here on a Saturday night. See, I have something else that keeps me sober. That one is God. Absolutely. So, sorry, I went off on a little bunny trail. I wound up, I didn't think AA worked anymore. My husband didn't think AA worked for me anymore, because when I went to AA, the last time I had gone, I was about 8 months sober, trying to work the steps, doing it exactly how they had said to, right? I'm doing every step when they give it to me, how they give it to me, what to do with it. 8 months, I'm on step eight, and I just said, I went to three women after a women's meeting, crying, going, I need help. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm miserable. I can't take this anymore. I'm going to drink. And those three women said, I'm so sorry. I cannot help you. So I walked out of the door. I went straight to the liquor store. I bought a 12-pack. I went home, and my husband was relieved. Because, see, me without a drink and me without a solution, it isn't pretty. So I finally got to the point where I wasn't going to go back to AA. I knew I needed to quit drinking. And so I thought, okay, I'll go to a treatment center. I don't know what that's going to do either, but maybe I just need to get, I need to get free of the booze. Guys, I had no intentions of quitting. Let me just get this out. I had no intentions of you taking my alcohol away for good and all. That is not why I went. I went to get free of the booze for a little bit, to clear my head. They had this whole, this like spiritual thing. I was going to do that, see if that could help so I could drink less. So I could learn how to drink. And I get there, and what happened was somebody who absolutely understood what was wrong with me got in front of my face. You know, Dr. Bob was the same way. Guys, I had a lot of church in me. You know, I had that aspect of it. That's why I always say there's two types of people who come in here, one with God, one without God. We're both screwed because we're both drunk. Like, what did I know so much? I remember standing up in a meeting one time and saying, well, if this is all about a, because the topic was spirituality. And so I thought, well, if AA is about spirituality, I got it. Y'all are screwed. Adios. I leave and I drink. I'm drunk. I don't have nothing. Right? On page 155, and we're talking about Dr. Bob here, he said he had a desperate desire to stop but saw no way out, for he had earnestly tried many avenues of escape. I so could get that. How many different avenues of escape did I try? You know, these are the ways we try to control or quit. You know, the meeting makers make it. I was making three meetings a day, and I'm not making it. Right? It's the, you know, Dr. Phil. I remember going to see Dr. Phil. Yes. He had all the answers on TV with Oprah. Oprah, I watched Oprah in the 90s every day going, come on, Oprah, give me something good today that I could live by. Guys, if this were just a matter of our mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life, many of us would have recovered long ago. That's what the book says, right? It wasn't about me just not being good enough. I don't have the power. I don't have, it's kind of like that needed power wasn't there. My human resources failed me every time. Dr. Phil was a human resource. I'm sorry, I love you guys, but y'all are human. And if I'm not going to get sober for my family and my own kids, I'm not going to get sober for you. And so what I had to learn was I'm not drinking because of this or this. And it's not about keeping on guard and looking at my trigger list, because driving was my trigger, on the top of my trigger list. I love to drink and drive. How I never got a DWI, I don't know. But my favorite thing was rolling down the window, smoking some cigarettes with David Allen Co. We're good to go. We're good to go. That's just what I did. Right? And so he had a desperate desire but saw no way out. Painfully aware of being someone abnormal, the man did not fully realize what it meant to be an alcoholic. Guys, we understand we're a little abnormal where it comes to alcohol, but the problem is we don't understand what's wrong with us until we get in here and get somebody in front of us who knows what to do. Let me tell you this, I'm not knocking the fellowship. Because I absolutely love the fellowship. I love you guys. right? You understand me like my husband doesn't. And if I have a problem, I can come to you and say, hey, how did you walk through this sober? Right? How did you walk through this sober? But the problem is that's not where the power is. The power is in the steps. And we work these steps to get us connected to this power. If I were already connected, I wouldn't have to be here. And that's what I had to learn, that I didn't know everything, right? Because if I did, I would be sober. I would be able to apply these codes of morals and a better philosophy of life to my life. And I would have overcome alcoholism. But I couldn't. So what we have to realize is that here's the kicker. Are you 100% hopeless from divine help? See, if I could keep myself sober, I'd be keeping myself sober. And that's what Bill saw. Bill had a big problem with God. He didn't like the whole God idea at all. But what he saw was Evie sitting before him, who he had drank with and partied with, and he knew Evie wasn't keeping Evie sober. He knew Evie didn't say, I'm just not going to drink today. I'm just not going to do it today. He saw that he was relieved from this problem. He was on a whole different footing, inside and out. And so by Evie coming to Bill, Bill came to believe just enough to make the approach. Just enough. See, I didn't believe everything about every step when I did it. I did it because I had a desperate desire to stop, and I saw no other avenue to take. And so I didn't even pick up a desire chip because I was told, do not pick this up unless you are serious and you're ready to quit for good and all. See, that's how it was said to me. Yes, and I am so happy that they said that because it actually made me sit back and look at, do I want this way of life? Guys, if this were an easy way of life, this room would be full. This is not always an easy way of life. Because I have to work these steps. Yes, it may be suggested, but so is ripping your cord when you're jumping out of a plane. It's a suggestion. You don't have to. You don't have to. But if you don't, you won't get connected to that power. You won't have that spiritual experience, and you won't have anything to transmit. The cool thing is today I am properly armed with facts about myself as an alcoholic. I do know what I do understand. And then I also have a solution and a vision to grab you with. Here's the coolest thing. You want to talk about what recovery is. It's about waking up in the morning and say, not sitting there thinking, how am I going to get a drink? How am I not going to get a drink? What am I going to do to get that drink? How am I going to get through the day without it? How am I going to dodge that? How am I going to, right? I get to wake up. My mind is at peace. I'm not thinking about it at all. And when I do, I recoil from it as a hot flame. And guess what, guys? I am just not fighting alcohol anymore. I am not fighting you. That's recovery. See, I could care less what people think about me today. You may like me, you may not. My sobriety and my decisions are not based on you and what you think. My sobriety is based on God and what God would have me do. This book talks over and over about that. You know, we're to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to the people about us. That's what this program is about. We stop drinking, and that's cool. Right? But then the next thing I do, I go out and give it away. Because if I were to sit in a room waiting for you to come to me, how selfish is that? What am I saying to God? Thank you so much for this sobriety. Can I keep it to myself? That's not what this is about. I have been relieved from a problem that was killing me, that was killing my family. I didn't think so. I just thought it was hurting myself. And now I'm not. Now I've tapped in this power, and this power has given me the power to help you. And how cool is that? From a life that was absolutely with no purpose. I remember drinking my beer going, oh God, I just want a purpose. If I only had a purpose. To a life that is absolutely filled with meaning and purpose. As I drove to Tyler today to go see my niece, she graduated from college, and I just drove in to do a lunch, and I drove back here to get here tonight. Why? This is the main thing in my life. This is what keeps me sober. This is what helps me stay connected to God. Because guess what? The book talks about if everything else fails, the way we enlarge our spiritual life is through work and self-sacrifice for others. That's how I stay fit. It's not about trying to get, how many of us have the books next to our bed? We have the books. I encourage you, I charge you with the vision of working with another alcoholic in front of you, taking them through the steps, watching their little eyes light up, watching them recover, and watching them do the same thing. Look, I got one of the girls I sponsor, and this is my little, I don't know what they call him, but she came all the way from California. You know, I mean, how cool is that? She's out in California. Here's the cool thing. You got this fellowship that grows up about you. You don't even know what you can do and who you can affect. By just talking to one person, it doesn't mean you have to sponsor them or whatever. But, you know, she's out in California. She's got a bunch of girls out there. She's got a whole meeting kicked on. I mean, that's the coolest. This is everywhere. Affect somebody. Do the work. Get to through it. Guys, thank you so much for letting me be here. Tom, I love you.
Thank you, Julie. Okay. Thank you, Homer.
Yeah. All right. We are passing the basket on our seventh position. We are self-supporting. Expenses are met by voluntary contributions.